Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is January 12th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality and whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Definitely love having you on live. There's a few of you here that that haven't heard from you in a while, and so I'm really super glad that you're here. A couple of announcements real quick. First off, we have officially moved over to our new e-commerce platform, and it has not been without some challenges. And so I think everything is up and going, but if you guys happen to be on MotorVitality.com and you see any glitches or anything like that, then please let us know so we can get those taken care of. Going from one platform to a completely different format, and it's been kind of interesting. The other thing I wanted to just announce is WQA has started back up. Some of you may or may not be aware that WQA has they've changed the way they're doing certification now, and and they now are having instructor-led courses. So it's at a set time. You have homework. It's still virtual, but it's just a lot easier to stay on track and to get that certification. So I know those classes are just now starting up. It's probably not too late to get in. If you're looking at your certification, I actually am teaching one of them, and there are 72 people in the class. So I know there are a fair number of people that are interested in doing that, and which I'm super excited about. Also, speaking of WQA certification, we have officially launched our installer training facility. And so we are in the midst of teaching our first two classes, and what's cool about that is that if you have anybody in your company or you know anybody that is looking to be trained as an installer, the curriculum is we are being allowed to qualify our curriculum as WQA certifications, which means that if you sign up for our installer training course, it will meet all the educational and practical requirements of Water Quality Association certified installer certification, which we're super excited about to be able to partner with WQA on that. So you can kind of kill two birds with one stone. In fact, it takes 16 weeks to go through the WQA course. It takes 4 weeks to go through our installer training course, and you come out of it with a minimum of 5 installs under your belt and that experience. So, and like 5 actually from box to pressure testing installs. So you actually will have full experience of being able to put equipment in lots of different scenarios. So we're really super excited about that. I don't know if you guys are following us on social media, on MotorVitality, on Facebook or LinkedIn, even Twitter, I think, although I think only because I posted on LinkedIn. I don't really tweet that much. But anyway, those are my announcements. Jen, do you have any announcements?
I think you covered it all.
Okay, so with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with?
Kelly, every once in a while, there is something in kind of the big news, you know, the not just the local channels, but yeah, the bigger news. This is not a political thing. This just happened to be on the TV when I woke up this morning. But CNN was on again. No political, no left or right side. Just happened to be on. But one of the tidbits that they had was a lady that came on and talked about how tap water is not safe for medical devices. And so I haven't tried doing a Google search or anything, but I'm sure if you look at, you know, Google search or something, again, this is one of those things that your customers and potential customers are watching and what they're hearing. And in that little tidbit that they had, one of the things that she said, she just kind of talked about the microorganisms in the water, how they can be unsafe, especially if you're using the, you know, to clean out your contact lenses or the neti pots, I think is what they are. Things like that, that it can be unsafe, or your, what are the breathing devices that you use at night, and humidifiers. But at any rate, so she was talking about all those. In that whole segment, one of the things that she said is, somebody said, well, what about if my water just has filters? And she said, no, that doesn't work unless you're using a filtration system that goes less than 1 micron. So, okay, quick quiz here. What filtration system do we sell that goes less than 1 micron?
Well, there's a couple, like ultrafiltration, or ultrafiltration would do it. Microfiltration would do it. Actually, a lot of the, even the just so we can educate there, even a lot of the filters that go on the faucets will go down to 1 micron.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What you're looking for is, I mean, of course, reverse osmosis, but there are a lot of other, that's not the only option. So, you know, it's 1 micron still comparatively pretty big compared to the 0.0001 microns of an RO, but it's also, but it's big enough to remove Giardia and Cryptosporidium. The neti pot one, I just looked it up while you were talking there, Jen, and yeah, there was apparently a new study that came out that talked about it not being safe for medical devices. And so, yeah, I'm sure the news is going to cover it because they love to sensationalize the fear. And, you know, they talk about the neti pots where you like dump the stuff in your nose, which I tried that one time. It didn't quite cut it for me, but some people, I guess they love it. But I remember that
every morning loves it.
Yeah.
We don't love it. It's a necessity.
Right.
There are people that do it. But there was that one guy a couple of years ago that had that, every once in a while you hear about those people that, and I forget what it's called, that die from that.
Brain amoeba or something?
Yeah, that brain amoeba that like goes in through their nose and like wraps itself around their brain like that worm in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, for all of you. Shout out to all you Trek fans out there. No, that's great, Jen. I had missed that. I hadn't seen that yet, so thank you. Anybody else have anything here?
Any more worm talk we can discuss? You know, brain eating things.
let's talk more about brain eating amoebas. It takes like 4 days for somebody to die from that thing. I sometimes feel the older I get, it would take like 2 hours. Like the amoeba would be like, oh, there's nothing to see here. Anything else, you guys? So it's always interesting because, you know, last week I had this topic ready to go last week. And sometimes when I do this initial question, you know, what's the, you know, is anybody learning thing? It takes us in a completely different direction. And last week's call was one of those. And it was, I love that. It was pretty cool when that happens because we have discussion and it kind of gets in there and we stumble across a pretty good topic. But I wanted to come back to this one, you know, as we begin the new year. This was spawned, something had come across my social media feed where there was this little, like, 8-year-old girl talking about, she was doing a TED Talk and very well spoken. Clearly, I don't think she had written the presentation, but, man, she was certainly performing it very well. And it was, you know, just a short little TED talk about how kids are really influenced by, you know, their brains are hungry and they learn many of their life habits and values when they are young, very young, you know, starting in from babies. And one of the examples that was given was, There was actually a baby watching this baby react. It was kind of interesting. This guy was, he probably had a 9 or 10 month old there, and he was tossing the ball. The baby was crawling, not walking. And he was tossing the ball, this ball back with the, you know, rolling the ball with the baby, and the baby was laughing and very happy and everything. And then the guy picked up his phone, and the baby started crawling towards him, and, you know, he was just looking at his phone, tapping on his phone, looking at his phone, and the baby started crying a little bit, and then he put down his phone and grabbed the ball again, and the baby started playing. And it was really kind of a powerful little clip. And it there to highlight how important it is to, you know, put down the phone. And so I wanted to talk today about two sides of this. Okay, so there was one side of it was to, you know, put down the phone when you're talking face to face with your customers or your colleagues, or because it's not only babies or kids that get impacted by this. I think that it's really run rampant in our society. You know, it's interesting to me. I have always had this habit of when, you know, and it gets harder and harder and harder now to find an actual person. I will wait in line at a store for an extra 5-10 minutes so that I can go through the checkout with an extra person, or with an actual person, not an extra person. Barely find one person at checkouts anymore. I was in the store the other day, and there were literally no live checkout people. They were all, it was just this long cattle call line of people walking out through the auto checkout. And I think that we have some, you know, some of that's contributed to because of labor shortages, and some of it is there because it's, you know, it's less expensive to, in the long run, for a store to buy that. But I also think that it's because, you know, I think we sort of did that to ourselves. We basically have been going through checkout lines while talking on our phone, or while tapping our phone or looking at text messages, and the person running the register, they might as well be a machine because there's no interaction. There's no eye contact. You know, I mean, it, and look, I am as guilty as anybody about this. I spend a lot of time on my phone. So this is not a lecture by any means. In fact, those of you that have been on this call for quite a while know that sometimes these calls are somewhat of a confession or even a little therapeutic for me. So, but it was something that struck me and something that I wanted to become more aware of is just how important it is to, when you are there, when you have the opportunity to be in front of somebody, right there in front of them, to look them in the eye and talk to them, to actually have a conversation, you know, to converse with that person, even if it's a total stranger. When you run through the gas station to pay, put your phone, I mean, don't just say, hey, hang on a minute, you know, and leave your phone up to your ear. Literally take your phone and put it down and look the person in the eye and just, you know how many times I've done that and I've had somebody at the register actually say, I really appreciate you doing that. Thank you. And it seems odd to me that they would thank me for something like that, except that most people, I don't think, do that. I think most people, you know, they treat them like they're auto computerized checkout tellers, you know, or checkout cashiers, or I don't know what the appropriate word today is. What do you call a person? A checkout person, whatever. So that was one side of it. And then the opposite side is when two pick up the phone. You know, I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine a few weeks ago, and this person was, you know, telling me how they were really struggling going into the end of the year and the new year, and so one of the things, I took Jen's advice. You know, Jen has always talked about how when she, and Jen, you can speak to this if you want, but I remember Jen telling me, and this certainly was the case with me as well when I was in sales, on how you would start to have slow months and things would, you know, it'd be tough. You know, your closing ratio drops, you're not having, you know, you just don't feel like you're having the success that you need to have. You don't have the excitement. I remember Jen telling me that when she would do that, when she'd get the feeling like that, she would pick up the phone and she'd start calling her existing customers, people that had already purchased something, people that I remember one customer you talked about, Jen, that made you dinner. And you know how she would just, and you know, and she would go, hey, I'm going to be in your area tomorrow. I was just wondering if I could swing by and check the system. And how after doing that for a week or so, it was, you know, it was a, it really helped to re-energize, you know, to remind her why we do this, that it's not about the sales. It's, although, you know, certainly we are not for profit, you know, so we all need to make money. And Les Brown always said, you know, money isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen. And so obviously we're not professional visitors, but sometimes part of our job is to visit. It is to go out there. I mean, if we don't have that motivation, that drive, that enthusiasm, then we're not going to be able to do our jobs effectively. So I wanted to kind of open up that was my two cents on that so far. But I wanted to just kind of open that up for discussion and see what you guys thought about these two. You know, what are your thoughts about putting down the phone, and what are your thoughts about picking up the phone?
Kelly, I think that has, that's, you know, you mentioned that I would go and, yeah, the Garofalo's, I would, Saturday mornings when I was out canvassing, I always knew if I went down their street, one of them would be outside working, and they, oh, come in and do breakfast, and, you know, have breakfast, and Mrs. Garofalo would make me breakfast, so, which was awesome. But, you know, there's been times that I've had, whether it's a supplier or a client, instead of text messaging or emailing back and forth, you know, we pick up the phone and we talk, and you get to know these, you know, colleagues within the industry. And along with that comes knowledge in the industry, but also friendships. And I think that that's really important, especially, you know, I get off the phone, somebody calls me up, and I get off the phone, and if I've had a bad day, usually it's made my day brighter. So I think that, yeah, we do too much of the texting, we do too much of the emailing, and we just don't talk anymore, you know, and it might take a few more minutes out of our day, but in the long run, it's for our own sanity, I think, it's really important.
So I think you just made a really good point, Jen, about, like, you know, people, not only customers, but also colleagues. You know, when those of you, you know, if you read the magazines or you go to convention, you see people. I remember when I first came in this industry, how there were these big names and people seemed bigger than life. You know, they were, you know, it almost felt like they were unapproachable because everybody knew them, you know, and they were so friendly. What I have found is that the people in this industry that, you know, have the most notoriety, I guess, the biggest names, they're very approachable, you know, and I think that every single person who's had some, you know, some consistent level of success in this industry, I have found to be people willing to help, you know, willing to drop what they're doing. I think I would encourage you, those of you that are in sales or those of you that are out there, you know, if there's a name that you've heard, pick up the phone and, like Jen said, just call and introduce yourself and let them know that you respect them and ask them, is there any advice? Is there anything you can teach me? I mean, it's just a great way to learn about the industry and to get to know each other and to not be so distant. And I promise you, you'll hang up the phone and feel just a ton more energized. It's really, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love going to the conventions and to the, you know, to the association meetings, to really get in there and meet with people and talk to them. So,
Kelly,
anybody else? Yeah, please go ahead.
Kelly,
yeah.
Hey, It's
yeah.
Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Morning. Hey. Yeah, I think you're spot on. The idea that these people that you read about in the industry magazines and are either they own a business or their articles are there frequently or they're speaking at the conventions, and you're absolutely right. At least how I viewed it over the years was, well, I'm not going to go and talk to them. I mean, they're not going to spend time with me. They're too busy. They're too important. And then you end up talking with them, and an hour later, you know, they're like, oh, no, happy to have the discussion with you. And it can be, like you said, very informative, but also, in truth, they're very approachable. And you can have these great informative conversations, and it helps to have you recognize that, you know, we're all just people, you know.
Yeah, Paul, I think it's interesting because you and I are a prime example of that. I mean, you've been in the industry for, you know, longer than I have. I've been, you know, 24 years, and you've been here basically your whole life, like 40, 50 years,
50,
you said,
yeah, 50,
right?
And this year and, 50 years, 2022.
Of course, I've heard your name, but it was only since, you know, it was only last year that we ever had a chance to really sit down and actually the way that happened, for those of you that, you know, just to sort of make the point, Paul and I had talked a couple times on the phone. Our paths crossed because we both are instructors for the instructor-led training for WQA. And I happened to be visiting a town really close to where Paul lives now in Florida, and reached out to him and said, hey, you want to grab breakfast? And that breakfast ended up turning into a 4-hour conversation, Paul. And
Michelle had reached out to you, I don't know how many times. Yeah, I'm coming right back. Yeah, okay, hon. Yeah. Like,
yeah, we're down having, and it ended up, and it really opened some doors now that Paul and I are working together, and, you know, he's actually helping with the installer training that we're doing. So I think that's a prime example. You know, you have colleagues, you have two people that heard the name, certainly heard the name, but it was just, I would absolutely encourage you to do that, to sit down there. And Paul, you know, on the other side of it, how much time, you and I were having that conversation, did we spend on our phones?
Well, zero, other than when yours rang you or something, you might have responded. But basically, I'm a huge believer in face-to-face contact, eye-to-eye contact, if at all possible. And I get some pushback sometimes from my wife about this. It's like, oh, you're such a dinosaur. Like, yeah, but it definitely ranks in my mind. Face-to-face is the best. On the phone mm-hmm. is next. And then you get down to texting and email, where there's so many of the nuances that either you can't convey or can be misconstrued that I generally try not to use those forms of communication. And I realize that makes me more inefficient in certain ways. But the relationship that you can develop by speaking to someone either face-to-face or, if necessary, on the phone. Like you said, you're going through the checkout. I usually will say something to the person, you know, something that has nothing to do with the conversation. You know, like I'm buying a pint of Häagen-Dazs. You know, I'll make some crack about Häagen-Dazs being better than heroin or something. You know, I mean, maybe not exactly that. But, no, I mean, I'm not
right. Right. You know, I used to do a lot of heroin until I found Häagen-Dazs. I learned something new about you, Paul, every time we talk.
Are these calls recorded?
There's a long history of blackmail.
Your alternate source of income, right? It's a combination of recording and editing. Anyway.
Right. Anybody else? We have a couple minutes here. Any other thoughts from anybody on these topics?
Down
on the topic?
Kelly, I wonder
else
kind of,
yeah, go ahead.
A little bit of a, if nobody else is, a little bit of, I mean, Cash, I don't want this to come off wrong when I say this, but I had somebody, I've mentored a few people through the WQA Women in the Industry and Mentorship Program. And one of the gals that had chose me to mentor her, you know, I asked her, well, what are you looking to grow on? And, you know, why did you choose me? And she's like, well, because you're Jen Smith. And I'm just like, yeah, I am. You know, and it just, and, you know, she says, well, you know so many people in the industry and you're so knowledgeable. And I never look at myself as that, never have looked at myself. But I've had people, and Stacy, I think you've reached out to me. And when I've had people reach out to me, and even if it's asking a simple question about a filter or asking a simple question about how would you handle this on a sales call, I am so honored that somebody contacts me. I mean, and it's just a matter of I'm so happy that I'm able to help somebody else out, because I remember the first time going into a WQA conference and not knowing anybody and, you know, just thinking, how am I ever going to fit in here? And I don't like anybody to feel that way when they're in this industry, because we're all one big happy family. And so if there's somebody, like you read an article, give them a shout out. Just say, hey, I wanted to let you know the article was great. Ask them any questions that you have, and they will be honored to answer those questions.
You know, Jen, I can see why people call you. You have a great demeanor. I just wanted to tell you that. I mean, I haven't had a lot of conversations with you, but when I do hear you speak, you put people at ease, and that's a talent. I'm serious. I'm being sincere. I mean, really. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, well, it's deserved. So I can see why people would reach out to you. And I think, unfortunately, that there is – I don't view it this way, but I think there's – and you would maybe have a better sense. It's probably more intimidating to reach out to a guy in some cases because you think that they're going to be less friendly. I don't know. But you certainly epitomize someone who would be approachable. You can say, hey, you know, she's got a great demeanor. She's friendly. And, you know, you wouldn't be intimidated as likely to be. And that's a great quality. And, Kelly, you do, too. I mean, both of you do.
You too, Kelly. No, Paul, whatever. You just keep singing the praises of Jen. It's all right, whatever.
I keep forgetting that I'm putting the buttered side of the bread down on my hand. It's like, which side?
Right.
I got mixed
up. Any final thoughts here? We got about 2 minutes. Any final thoughts before we call it a day? Any final? Guys, there were a lot of extra people on this call. I want to give a shout out for or request for topics, you know, as we start the new year, always trying to come up with new ideas and new topics to discuss that you guys would find valuable. But regardless of whether you have a topic in mind, I really appreciate so much you guys being here to participate and with that, we will call it a day, and we'll talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Take care.
Thanks.
Have a great day.